Today, in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed Ches. We begin at the Mishnah, three lines from the top, Lamed Ches and Aleph. We're learning today, Leila Nishmas Claire Weinstein. All the Shomas we learn for Shadav and Leah from our learning, and we continue to learn for the safety and success of Chayilei Tzal. All the Kochos of Bitachon, they should be safe. Those in need of Refuah Shleimah should have one. They should bring back the Chatufim B'mehera in good health, and they should be Shalom HaKol Klal Yisrael. Okay, we begin with the Mishnah. If a person puts peros by his friend, Reuven gives peros to Shimon, he deposits peros by Shimon, afidlu hein avudin lo yigabahen. Rashi explains, they're becoming destroyed, ayide achbarim, via mice, o rikuvon, or they're spoiling. Nevertheless, the person who's been deposited with him, Shimon in this situation, cannot go and sell them, cannot go and do anything to them, lo yigabahen. The Gemara will explain why. Shimon Galil disagrees. Shimon Galil Omer, no, mochron bifnei basin, go and sell them, so he won't continue to have this loss from the mice or from the spoiling of the fruits. Go and sell it in front of basin, and mitmeishu kimeishu vaveda lebalim, because in this way he's, so to say, returning a lost item to the balim, because otherwise it's going to get further destroyed, and you're preventing him from having a further loss, so it's like you're doing hashavas aveda. Again, a lot of discuss over here, and we'll begin the Gemara. Gemara says, what's the rationale for the Tanakama? Hamav kipetzus chavero lo yigabahem, even if they're getting destroyed. My timer. So we have two reasons over here. First one is Rav Kahana. Amar Rav Kahana, Adam wrote to the Kav Shalo, Nitisha Kabim Shel Chavero. A person would rather have his own personally grown fruits that he himself expended time on and effort on than to have 9 Kabim, a much larger amount, 9 times as much as someone else's produce. Again, a person has a certain natural desire towards his own hand-grown stuff. When we do anything ourselves, we have much more pride in it. We enjoy it much more. And that's why, by the way, in regards to a person redeeming his own Meiser Sheni or his own other items, so he has to pay a fifth on top of it in addition to the actual cost of the redemption. Whereas if you're redeeming somebody else's, you just pay the straight amount, the keren, the principal. So here, Rav Kahana is telling us because the person prefers his own. So even though some of it's going to spoil, it may spoil further, he would rather have a smaller amount of his own grown stuff than selling it to somebody else. Then when you give him the money, he'll be able to go buy the same fruits, but it will be somebody else's fruits. That's Rav Kahana's svara. Yitzhak Omar, he gives a different reason. He says, Chayshinon, we have to be concerned that Shemo Ason Hamafkid, that maybe Reuven, who gave him those fruits, said, well, I'm going to be Mafkid those fruits to Shimon, but I'm going to use those fruits to go and be taking off Trumas and Maisos, that he'll be, the Reuven will take from those fruits that he gave to Shimon, those will be Trumas and Maisos, Amokum Acher, Trumas Maisos, Amokum Acher. Now, Tosus points out, you're not allowed to do something, Shalom and Amukov, you're not allowed to go and Tap Tosus, Sikh Rabbeinu Tam, V'chin Echshidu Chaverim, Litrom, Shalom and Amukov, you're not allowed to go and take off Trumas and Isis or something that's not physically contiguous, physically attached. But Tosus points out, there are exceptions to the rule when you're allowed to. And obviously, this was one of those exceptions. So therefore, we have to be concerned that Reuven now thinks he's taken off Trumas and Isis from the produce that he has in his house, because the produce that he has by Shimon, he made into Trumas and Isis for that, and therefore, he's now going to be eating from his own produce, thinking that it's been made into chulin. It's no longer tevel. But in fact, he'll be eating tevel because Shimon had already sold it to somebody else, and therefore Reuven no longer owns it and can't make trumas and maisos from it. So therefore, that is the concern that Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak tells us. So we have two reasons over here. Rav Kahana, who says a person prefers his own fruits than somebody else's, and Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak says we have to be concerned that maybe if they spoil, he's going to sell it, and then after the sale, Reuven's not going to know that it's been sold, and he's going to take off Trumas and Maisos from his tevel based upon those fruits that are by Shimon, and in fact, it won't be taking off Trumas and Maisos because Shimon has sold them, and therefore Reuven will be eating tevel. Fine. Gemara now questions this explanation from Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Meisvei. The Gemara says we have the following brisa. It says beferish hamavki peros etzu chaveru harezel lo yiga bahen. The brisa says if you go and deposit fruits. Reuven goes and deposits fruits with Shimon, so Shimon can't touch them. Hareze lo yigabahen. And therefore, since Shimon will not touch them, therefore, lefikach, only because Shimon won't touch them, bala bayis also son shumu maiso mokmacher. Reuven can be certain that Shimon hasn't touched them, and therefore he can take off from his tevel those produce that he gave to Shimon can be trumas and maisos on the tevel that he has, and it will become now chulin. Now, this makes very good sense according to Rav Kahana. Bishlamo Rav Kahana, hainu diktane lefikach. That is why this brisa says lefikach, therefore. So Rav Kahana says that a person prefers his own fruits, and that's why Shimon is not allowed to go and sell them, even though they're beginning to spoil. And therefore, hainu diktane, now the brisa makes sense when it says lefikach, therefore, since we know that Shimon won't go and sell them because Reuven wants his own fruits, therefore, balabai, so, that's why Reuven can go and use those fruits that he deposited with Shimon to be Truma and Meiser for his fruits, because he's certain that Shimon won't sell them because a person prefers his own fruits and somebody else's. But Ella Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, the whole reason is Chayshino Shemo Asan Amavki Truma Meiser Mokum Acher. So then, my Lefikach, what does Lefikach mean? You're not allowed to touch them because Reuven used them to be Mafrish his Truma and Meiser on his Tevel that he has in the house. So then, what do you need then? Lefikach. Therefore, Habal Meiser Osos and Truma Meiser Mokum Acher. It doesn't make any sense. So my Lefikach, according to this, Gemara says no, it makes very good sense. Hachi Kama. This is what Nachman Yitzchak would be saying. Hashdod the Omer Rabbanu Lo Nizabin. Now that the rabbis have taught us that you're not allowed to go and sell, Shimon can't go and sell this. Even if it spoils, it's because Reuven may, in fact, go and be mafresh it. So now, the Chayshina, we are concerned about that. Therefore, Lefikoch, now, Balabais, also, son, Shumo, Maiso, Mokabacher. That is why Reuven doesn't have to worry, because he knows that Shimon will have to be concerned about this, and therefore he's allowed to go and be mafresh it on his Trumos and Maestros from this produce that he deposited with Shimon on his Chulin in his house, on his Tevel he had in his house to make it into Chulin. Okay, so therefore, it's no Kasha on Reuven Nachman Yitzchak. Gemara says, "Amar Rabba Bar Barachan, no Amar Yochanan." Rabba Bar Barachan says the name of Yochanan. The following halacha: Machlokes bichdei chesronan. This machlokes in the Mishnah between the Tanakama and Rishimu Lil is only applicable in the case where the normal spoilage or loss is occurring. What we call bichdei chesronan, as Rashi points out, kiderech shar tvos. What the normal amount of spoilage that will occur, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem in 2 days, and Daf Mem, it tells us how much wheat is supposed to spoil, how much the various other grains are going to spoil, etc. So when it's the normal spoilage, that's what we have the machlokes between the Tanakama, who says, don't touch it, and the opinion of Rashi Gamliel, who says, no, sell it because it's like Hashavas Aveda. However, everybody agrees, according to Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rav Yochanan, everybody agrees in this situation, however, that if it's Yoser, Avo Yoser Michtei Chisronon, if it's an unusual amount that's being lost, it's spoiling much faster, the mice are eating it much more than you would have expected, then Divri HaKol, Mochron Bivesa, that not only does Rav Shimon Gamliel say that, but even the Tanakhama is more than Shimon Gamliel in that situation, that you will go and sell it in order to prevent further loss. Now, either of Nachman Bar Yitzchak Vadi Pliga. This certainly argues with the opinion of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Rabba Bar Barchana, in the name of Yochanan, certainly argues with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because Rav Nachman Yitzchak said that we have to be concerned about maybe he took off Trumas and Maisis from it. So what difference does it make if it spoils a little or spoils a lot? You're not allowed to go and sell it, because maybe Reuven has taken off Trumas and Maisis from it, and that produce that you're selling is Trumas and Maisis. So certainly, this opinion of Rav Yochanan argues with Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. The question is, does it also argue with Rav Kahana? Either Rav Kahana, Milei Mepliga. Rav Kahana had said that a person prefers his own kav rather than 9 kavim of someone else's. So, when did we say this? Ki kama Rav Kahana, bichdei chisaron kama. Maybe Rav Kahana only said that under normal circumstances. But if it's a larger amount, so then Rav Kahana would say that the person would prefer in that situation not to have his own. He'd rather have a lot of somebody else's than have very, very, very little of his own. So therefore, not necessarily is Rabba Bar Barachana in the name of Rav Yochanan arguing with Rav Kahana. Where he says, well, wait a second. If Befeirish said that Rav Kahana holds, for Rotsi B'Kav Shelo, a person would rather have only 1/9 rather than 9 Kavim, Mitisha Kavim, Shel Chaveru Komar. So it seems like he really would rather have a very, very small amount of his own. So even if it's spoiling tremendously, but at least he'll have a little bit of his own. If only 1 out of 9 is left unspoiled, a person would rather have that 1 out of 9 than even though the other 8 out of the 9 are spoiling. So he Befeirish said, Rav Kahana, that a person wouldn't prefer that. So that's called Yeser Mikidei Chisaron, and yet Rav Kahana says a person would still prefer it. So it seems that Rabba Bar Barachana or Yochanan is arguing with Rav Kahana. Of course, he says no. He said he'd rather have 1 than 9. That was Guzmo Biyamo. That was an exaggeration. That wasn't really the fact. Yeah, he'd rather have 8 of his own than 9 of somebody else's. But once you start dropping to 7 to 6 to 5, of course, then he'd rather have more produce, even though it's not his own. So therefore, Lav Davka do Rabba Bar Barachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, and Rav Kahana actually argue. Now, the Gemara is going to question the statement of Rabba Bar Barachana in the name of Yochanan. Meisei, we have another brisa that says Lefikach. Therefore, Bala Bayis Osa Osa and Truma Umaiser Al Mokom Acher. We brought down that the Bala Bayis, since it's not going to be sold, is allowed to go and take the produce that he deposited with Shimon and use that as Truma and Meiser on Tevel that he has in his house. Now, why don't we say V'leichos Duma Havelu Yosef Michtei Chisaron? But wait a second! If you're telling me that Rabba Bar Barachana, Amar Yochanan, and Rav Kahana don't argue, so then why don't we say we're concerned that maybe there was tremendous spoilage, and therefore he was allowed to sell it. And therefore, how could Reuven go and be mafrish trumas of Isis from the produce that he gave to Shimon if possibly Shimon sold it because there was a tremendous amount of loss? So leichosh, we should be concerned. And the Brisa says, we're not concerned about that. The call holds fallen. And as a result, Reuven is going to think that he took off Shumas of Isis, but it actually was sold, and therefore he didn't take off Shumas of Isis, and now he's eating Tevel instead of eating what he thought was Chulin. So the Gemara says, no, the Brisa is talking about Yoser Michtei Chisaron Lo Shchiach. When the Brisa says, no, you can guarantee that Reuven can be mafrish Trumas of Isis, it's because it's very, very unlikely that such large amounts of spoilage will occur. The standard rates of spoilage, everybody knows. Okay, it's each week, 5%, 2%. We'll see this in the Gemara. And Daf Mem tells us how much actually spoils each week. So therefore, we don't expect it to be a larger amount. And therefore, there's no likelihood that this will occur. And therefore, Reuven can be mafrish as Trumas of Isis because it's very, very highly unlikely there will be yeser mich dei chisaron that Shimon is allowed to sell it. Nobody says, no, but what happens if it did? If, in fact, this is the unusual case, you're right, it's not common, it's not usual. But now we're dealing with a case where it spoils a lot. So what should Shimon do? If you're going to tell me, Ms. Benin and Luhu, he can go and sell it, like Rabbi Bar Chana said in Rav Yochanan, that everybody agrees that there's a large amount of spoilage, you are allowed to go and sell it. So then, we have the same concern. And he's going to be eating Tevel. He, in fact, didn't know that it spoiled a lot, and therefore, he went and was mafrish's truma mises on it. But in fact, Shimon sold it, so he was mafrish on something that doesn't exist, and therefore, he thinks he now has chulin, but it's really tevel. So, why do we allow it? So, it's still a kasha. Someone says, no. He was a ninon lami. When he goes and sells it, when Shimon goes and sells it, he's selling it to the kohanim, bidmei truma mizbaninon luhu. He sells it at truma value. So, if, in fact, Reuven had been mafrish against it, so the person who bought it, Levi, who bought it from Shimon, knows and thinks he's buying truma and will treat it as truma. So therefore, it still will not cause Reuven a problem. Le Kohanim, he sells it to Kohanim, bidmei truma, for truma. And he therefore sells it at a lower price because truma is worth less than chulin. And in that situation, Reuven will be protected and won't be eating tevel. Adimor says, Ulrav Nachman Yitzchak, Nami is Abninu Le Kohanim, bidmei truma. Oh, now that you're given this teretz, we should say that Rav Nachman Yitzchak should also say, why are you not allowing Shimon to go and sell it? Let's say over here that he's selling it for truma. So therefore, there shouldn't be a problem. Even if Reuven was mafresh against it, so it's being sold as truma. So Gemara says, no, this is exactly what they're arguing about. Baha, Pligi, this is what Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar of Yochanan, and Rav Nachman Yitzchak are actually arguing about. The Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar of Yochanan said, Sobar Yosef Michtei Chisaron Lo Shchiach Midi. He says it's very, very unusual that the spoilage will be at a higher rate than expected. And those rare situations of Lekim Ishtachak, when you do find, in fact, that the spoilage rate is very high. So, Likamehu Dahavya Yosef Michtei Chisaron. In that situation, what happens is that it takes a very long time for that high spoilage rate to occur. And therefore, if in fact Reuven was using this produce to be mafrish as truma and maisa against his tevel, so he wouldn't have waited so long. He would have been mafrish because the Talmud Chacham doesn't let tevel hang around for a long period of time. He would certainly have been mafrish on it already. And therefore, the Gemara says, so before it had this high spoilage rate, he already would have been mafrish it. And therefore, we don't have any problem. And therefore, Hilkach, ki havelu yosef michtei chisaron. Therefore, if it does have this high spoilage, which will take a while, already, we have to assume that it was mufrish as truma and maisa, and he sells it to the Kohen as if it's truma and maisa. He sells it for the lower price, and therefore, there is no problem, because it really is truma, and therefore, Reuven is not eating tevel. And what about Rav Nachman Yitzchak? Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he holds, Sovar, Yosef Matei Chisaron, Mishkach Shiach. He says, in fact, it's highly likely for stuff to spoil very quickly. And therefore, the Chihavelhu, Li Alterhu Dahavelhu. And this spoilage doesn't take a long time to occur. It can occur right away. It's not well refrigerated. It's very hot. Whatever the situation may be, there's a lot of mice infestation. And therefore, it gets ruined very quickly. And therefore, if you would allow Shimon to go and sell it, the Amris Nizbeninu, that he can go and sell it in order to save Reuven the money, so Zimnim, the Kodim, Mizamaluhu, it's going to be sometimes that he sells it before Reuven was mafrish that as Trumas and Maisos. And once he sells it, it already belongs to Levi. It can't be mafrish against your tevel that you have in your house, Reuven. lo yoda dezabna. And then when Reuven subsequently goes and is mafresh what he thinks is the produce in Shimon, but Shimon already sold it to Levi because it spoils very quickly, and therefore he thinks he's being mafresh against his tevel. He's going to eat his tevel, the ko'ochil tvolim. He's going to think it's chulim, but it's really tevel, and that's why Rabba Bar Bachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, says yes, and Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says no. And that explains the machlokus between them. Morris says, basically, wait a second. Hamafkid peros etzol chavero. We have another brayser that tells us if a person is mafkid his peros etzol chavero. Reuven puts peros by Shimon and Virkivu, and they start spoiling. Or he puts yayin there, the hechmetz. Or he gave him wine, and the wine is beginning to turn to vinegar. Or he gave him oil, shemen, the hivish, and it becomes bash. It becomes very foul smelly. In modern Hebrew, a bash is a skunk. So, therefore, it's a foul-smelling thing, right? It says by the first Makkah, it's getting close to Pesach, and we're going to be reading about the dam was boash hayar, so the dam fouled up and smelled up, all the fish died, and it made the Nile very, very foul-smelling. That's boash, so the honey became spoiled, became very foul-smelling. Just me an opportunity to give a plug. I give every year a shir, Le'ili Nishmas, my father, whose yard site is 17th yard site, is coming up. Yitz Hashem, the shir this year will be on Sunday night, live only, at the Young Israel of Woodmere. It will be in the evening at 8:30 Maariv, followed by the shir on Sunday, April 14th. That's Vav Nisan. My father's yard site is Yud Nisan. Everybody's invited to attend if they're around. There will be a recording of it if you don't live in the area and you can't attend in person. So there will be eventually a recording of it that I will share. In any event, the Brisa tells us if you have either the fruit that spoiled, the wine that became vinegar, the oil that became foul-smelling, or the honey that became the dvash, the hidvish, the honey became sour. Rashi explains the word hidvish means Yotza tam duvsho v'hichmitz. It also became like vinegary. It became no longer sweet. In all of these situations, hare zoliga behen. Shimon, who has this, is not allowed to touch it. Divri Rameir. That's the opinion of Rameir. The chacham amrim oslehem takana. You make some sort of takana. The Gemara will explain what exactly this takana is on the Amud Beis. And you go, and then umochron le beis, umochron the beis din. And you sell it in the beis din. So you're not taking any chances that you're selling it for the wrong price. Ukshemochim, when you sell it, mochim lechem, the basin will make sure that somebody else buys it and not you. Because we're concerned that if you purchase it, then maybe you'll give yourself a better deal. As Rashi points out, shelo yachshedu shema lakon bizol. People see you taking it, they'll say, oh yeah, you know why he sold it? Not because it was spoiling, because he wanted to make a good deal. So he sold it to himself. Therefore, the basin sells it and they sell it to somebody else. The Brisa continues and says, Kayotzi bo, similarly, if you're a gabbai tzedakah. Now, this part of the brisa we don't really need. We really need the first part of the brisa, but we'll continue reading the brisa anyway. So, similarly, if you're the gabbai tzedakah and you're collected tzedakah or food items, bizman she'en lehamanim l'chalik, but there's nobody there to actually go and give this to. So, what do? Partim le'acherim. So, if this was, let's say, food, so you go let people buy it and you take the money that they're giving you, partim le'acherim means you take the money that they're buying this item for the poor people. And you put it aside. They impart the Yatzim, but you shouldn't buy it yourself. You take this funding and you put it aside. And you don't make the exchange yourself because, again, people will suspect that you may be doing it a little bit for yourself. As Rashi points out, machlivin prutos nechoshes bisloy kesef. So Rashi is not talking about food. He's talking about where you're exchanging the coins, the copper coins for silver coins. Vipnesha prutos misafshos vinifsolos. Because the copper coins will spoil, the silver coins will not. So therefore, make this exchange, but don't give yourself the copper coins. Let somebody else do this. So you shouldn't be suspected that you're gaining on this somehow. Likewise, gabbai tamchoy. Here we have the actual food that I was referring to a moment ago. You have the gabbai in charge of the tomchei Shabbos. He's in charge of the food that's made for the poor people. So bizman she'en lehamanim l'chalik. There's no poor people around. So what are you going to do with all this chala? What are you going to do with the kugel? So people will buy it. So mochin lechem, you let regular, well-off people buy it, and then you take those funds and you keep them and you use them in the future. But you shouldn't be the one to buy it. They mochin liyatzim, because everybody will say, oh, you gave yourself a great deal on the chalent and the kugel. Now, Kitani Nias, it said in the first part of the Braisa, peros, if Reuven gave Shimon peros, virkivu, and they spoiled, so we said that lo yiga bohem, you're not allowed to go and touch them. That's what Rav Meir had said. Divri Rav Meir. Now, my, lav afilu yose michtei chisaron, isn't it talking about in the Braisa, even if there's been a tremendous spoilage or a tremendous infestation of rats that they're eating up all of the food, and nevertheless, the Braisa doesn't make a comment whether it is normal spoilage or irregular, high spoilage, you're not allowed to touch it according to a mayor. So this seems to go against Rabba Bar Barachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, that says everybody agrees if it's yeser, michdei chisaron, that you are allowed to sell it. Someone says, no, who says the Bryce is talking about yeser, michdei chisaron? No, the Bryce is talking about michdei chisronon. It's talking about normal spoilage. And yes, normal spoilage, you're not allowed to go and touch it. That's what Rav Meir holds. Yomar says, v'ho yayin, the hechmitz, we're talking about wine, and then it became vinegar. That's more than the normal spoilage. Or shemen, the hivish, or was oil, and became very foul smelling. Or dvash, hivish, dvash became like vinegar. So this is all of these are cases of the yosim mechtech chesronin, you know, and yet you see that Rav Meir says, you're not allowed to sell it, so this goes against Rabba Bar Rachan, Omer of Yochanan, again, kasha on them. So Gemara says, no, shiny honey, this brisa is different, because these items in the brisa, the wine, the oil, and the honey, kivon dekom, come. Once these items have spoiled, that's it. They're spoiled. They can't get more spoiled. It can't become more vinegary. It can't become more foul smelling. It can't become more vinegary for the honey. So therefore, it's too late. And that's why Rav Meir says, don't touch it. It's too late. You're right. If it had started to spoil more than usual, then we would tell you you're allowed to go touch it because Rabba Bar Barachana, Omer Yochanan says, everybody agrees if it's Yosef Michtei Chisron, and you're allowed to go and sell it to save the owner a loss. But in these three specific cases, wine, oil, and honey, it's too late. Once it's spoiled, it's totally spoiled. Kivun dekom, come. As Rashi says, me'achar she'omdu b'kilkulam. Once they have become spoiled, harei kvar omdu. That's it. It's too late. V'lo yiskalklu me'achar Yosef. They're not going to spoil anymore. So therefore, just leave it and let the original owner get it. Because there's no point in selling it. It can't spoil any further. So Gemara says, Shemen v'hivish, vash v'hivish, and we turn to lamin ches omud beis. If you have the oil that became very foul-smelling, or the honey that became vinegary, l'may chazu, of what value is it? As Rashi says, diktani mochwin, that you'd be allowed to go and sell it according to the chachamim. Why? Of what value does this stuff have? It's spoiled. So one says, no, it has value. It just meant it had value as food. But the Gemara says, shemen, this oil that is very foul-smelling, chazi l'gildoi, it can be used for, Rashi says, losuch oros, to go and anoint hides. In other words, you can smooth it on hides, and it will be able to be used for that, even though it's foul-smelling. Devash, what are you going to use this spoiled honey? Lechtisha digamble. It can be used for wounds that are on a camel's back. The camel has like a saddle on it, or it has packages on it. They go and abrade the skin. So when the camel has these abrasions, so you put this honey on it. Modern medicine today understands that bacteria don't grow well in honey. You really can't see any growth, and we actually treat certain things with honey-type compounds to prevent wound infections. In any event, they would put the honey on these sores on the camel's back and stomach. It would not allow them to become infected, and it would help in the healing process. So therefore, you may not eat it, but it could be used for something else. So therefore, that's why you would sell it. Now, the Chacham Momer in the Braisa said, Oselem takana umochum beveizdin, that the Chachamim said, you do some sort of a takana with it, and then sell it in the Beis Din. And don't sell it to yourself, but sell it to other people. Now, what is this Oselem takana? My takanta avdhu. What exactly is this takana that the Chachamim say you should do? So the Gemara says, Amar Vashi, it means lekankanim. It means that you should go and save the jugs that it's in. Because as Rashi says, hakli shahoya besocho yiskalkel im yishoa besocho. If you go and keep this spoiled stuff inside the kli, it's going to get absorbed into the kli, and it's going to make the kli no longer useful to ever put anything in it again, because it'll have a foul odor to it as well. It will absorb this spoiled stuff, and then anything else that gets put into it in the future will leach out some of this foul stuff and ruin anything that you put into it in the future. So go and empty out this foul stuff, sell the kli before it really absorbs the foul stuff, so the kli is at least saved. Now, there's obviously machlokas over here between Rebbe and the Chachamim. What are they arguing about? Michael Miflige. Rebbe says, don't touch it, and the Chachamim say, you can do this takana and sell it. So Rameyer holds the Mar Sovar Lehefsid Meruba Choshashu, Lehefsid Muat Lo Choshashu. Yes, for a large loss, we would allow you, like Rabba Baruchan, or Rabbi Yochanan said, to go and sell it. But here, you're talking about the kankanim. Once it's spoiled already, as we said. So therefore, the only thing you're saving is the kankanim. That's a pittance compared to the actual item. And therefore, for a hefsid meruba, we would allow you to go to sell it. Before the oil spoils, before the devash spoils, you'd be allowed to go and sell it. But once it's spoiled, that's it. It's gone. And then the only thing you're saving is the 2 cents for the kankan. That's not something that we allow you to go and touch. That's Rav Meir's opinion. Lefzid mu'ud lo choshu. Whereas the Chachamim say, no matter what, why not? I feel lefzid mu'ud, not mi choshu. The rabbis were concerned even about a small loss. And therefore, you're allowed to go and sell it. Now, we go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Yim Kareim, the Vezdin, Mipnei Shu, Kimeshav, Aved, Labalim. Reb Shimon argued with the Tanakhama. Reb Shimon Gamliel said that we do allow Shimon to go and sell this produce because the spoilage over here is a loss to Reuven, and if you can sell it before the loss worsens, so you're basically saving a loss to Reuven. And it's as if you're Meshav Aveda Labalim, as if you're returning a lost item to him. Now, how do we paskin? Itmar, the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba, be Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Abba was the son of Rabbi Yaakov, said over the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan, halachik Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Whereas the Rava of Rav Nachman, whereas Rava said the name of Rav Nachman, halachik yidivrei chachamim, that we paskin like the chachamim. So we have divergent opinions. Rabbi Yochanan said that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rava, in the name of Rav Nachman, said we paskin like the chachamim. Now, why did Rav Abba, Rabbi Yaakov, have to tell us the halacha according to Rav Yochanan is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? Rav Yochanan always paskins like Rav Shimon Gamliel, as we see. Va'amra, Rav Yochanan chad zimra. Rav Yochanan already taught us that we always paskin in the Mishnah like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Da'amra, Rabba Barachana, Rav Yochanan. Another statement that Rabba Barachana made in the name of Rav Yochanan. It's called Makum Shoshana Rav Shimon Gamliel b'mishlasenu. Wherever we find a halacha for Rav Shimon Gamliel in a Mishnah, we always paskin like it. Halacha kemoso. With three exceptions. Chutzmi Arev, this is the din in regards to a guarantor. Who do you go to first? You go to the person or you go to the guarantor? So he has a different psak halacha over here than the halacha lemaisa. And in Sidon, there was a case in Sidon, which was the name of a city, in regard to a divorce. So the halacha there is not paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel. And finally, in Raya Achrona, there were two cases. In the first case, the Raya Rishona, we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. And in the second case, Raya Achrona, we don't pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. But other than these three dinim, we always pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel. And this Mishnah is not one of these three dinim. So why did Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yaakov, say over the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Loch is like Rav Shimon Gamliel? It always is. So what's the Chiddush over here? So the Gemara says, no, it was necessary. Because Amarai Ninhu, there's a machlokis over here as to what Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is. Valiba Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yaakov did not hold from the previous statement that Rabba Bar Barachana said in the Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yaakov says, no, we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel all the time in the Mishnah. It's only where Rabbi Yochanan tells us that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel that we do. No, maybe many times he does, but it's not always. Whereas Rabbi Barachana said it's always. Rabbi Yochanan says we always paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel with the exception of these three places. The case of the guarantor, the Orev, and the case of Tzidon, and the divorce, and the Raya Achrona, where we had two Rayas. The first one we paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The second one we don't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Only in those three cases do we not pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel, and therefore it's not necessary to tell us that we pass like Rav Shimon Gamliel over here too. Whereas Rabbi Abba, but Rabbi Yaakov didn't hold like that and says it's necessary to tell us. So there's a machlokas amarai between Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yaakov, and Rabba Bar Barachana. Okay, now the Gemara says from this din that we just learned, me the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, from his din that says that you do the Hashavas Aveda by selling it, so Nishma. That comes to teach us a very important halacha, the moridin karov l'nichsei shavui, that Rachman al-Litzlan, if somebody is a captive, Nebuch, we see today with the Chatufim, that kidnapping Jewish people has not been something that is brand new. Hamas didn't invent this, although they're unfortunately experts and horrible in doing it. But Goyim constantly throughout our history would kidnap Jews for ransom or for ulterior purposes, Rahman al-Islam, immoralities and all sorts of other horrible things. So we learn from here that if somebody, Rahman al-Islam, is captured, he's a shavui. So then, Nishma, we learn from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's halacha that we do, when we have a shavui, we place somebody, a karov. Rashi says it should be the karov that is going to inherit from him. Haroi liyarsho, Rashi says, in karov bimenu, and there's nobody that is a close relative. So Nebuch, if the father is kidnapped, so we put the son, let's say there's only one son, so there's no problem, you put the son into that field. You let the son take over that field while the father is in captivity. And that is the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel, because Rav Shimon Gamliel lets you go and sell the produce that you have because of the laws, and that's the Shavas Aveda. So too, you go put somebody into the field of the Shavoi. So it will prevent the loss. It's like a Shavas Aveda. So from Shimon Gamliel's din in our Mishnah, we learned out this din about Moridin Karov L'Nichsei Shavoi. As opposed to me, the Rabbanan, from the Chacham and the Tanakam, who argue with Rav Shimon Gamliel, Nishma De'ein Moridim Karov L'Nichsei Shavoi. We see that we don't. Just like we said, Lo Yigabahem, Shimon's not allowed to touch the produce, it'll be a loss. So no, a person would rather have his own. And therefore, two over here. Nishma, the Ein Moridim, Karov, L'Nichsei Shavoi. We don't let somebody else go into that field because the person would rather have his own field. Even if that guy is going to go and save him some fruit, maybe he's going to mess up the field and he doesn't want anybody messing up his field. So we can learn this machlokas in regards to the Shavoi from the machlokas of Tanakama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara says, who says that that's true? Umimai. Maybe the two are in parallel. Maybe Dilma, maybe in fact, Ad kan lo kama Rishon Gamliel, Hocha. Maybe Rishon Gamliel only says in the Mishnah, because El Mishum de Ka Kaya Karna, because the produce is spoiling right in front of our eyes. So therefore, that's why he allows you to sell it. But the field, Abul Hasam, in the case of the Shavoy, his field, Hochanami, the Emaridim. Maybe Rishon Gamliel says you cannot go and put somebody into that field because they're going to ruin it. As Rashi points out, in this situation, the person may not take good care of it. He's going to say, listen, the shovel is going to come back at any moment in time, and therefore, I better use up the field as best as I can and get a maximum benefit from it because it won't be mine for long. So therefore, it's not doing the guy a favor. And therefore, maybe Rosh Hashanah would agree, you can't put somebody into the field, and you can't learn that Moridim Karvili Mixli Shavui. And vice versa. Yad kan lo karmi rabbanon hocha. In our Mishnah, the Chacham said, lo yiga behem, because Ella, because either the reasoning of Rav Kahana, Iker Rav Kahana, who said that we're concerned that a person would prefer his own produce than somebody else's produce, or Iker Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that maybe he was mafrish trumas against it, and he'll be eating tevil. So therefore, that's why in our Mishnah, the Chacham said, you're not allowed to go and touch it. Shimon can't go and sell it. Aval Hasim, in the case of the field with the Shavoy, Hochanami Maridin. Maybe the Chacham would say, absolutely put somebody into the field, put that carve into the field, because he'll take care of it, and it won't be a financial loss. So Gemara says, Lememra, this seems to imply, the way we just said it, that there are two reasonings over here. The Trei Tamininu, it's not the same reasoning, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, in our Mishnah, and the reason that we want to attribute to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Braisa. They're not necessarily the same reasoning, and the same thing for the Chachamim, but that doesn't seem to be true. V'amar Rav Huda Mishmuel, because Rav Huda saying Mishmuel, the halacha is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and the Yomer Shmuel Moridim Karvel Mitzvei Shavui. So Shmuel paskins in both cases like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So it seems that it's the same reasoning. The Yomer Shmuel said Moridim Karvel Mitzvei Shavui Lav Bishum Dechad Taimu. Isn't it because it's the same time? It's the same reasoning. So therefore, don't tell me it's two different reasonings. And therefore, we can line it up and say from Rabbi Shimon Gamliel we see Moridim, and from the Chacham we see Ein Moridim. Or says Lav Dafka. Who says that they're the same reasoning? In fact, they're not. Lo. Trei Tami Ninhu. It, in fact, is two separate reasonings over here. As Rashi says, Mas Nisin V'Nirsei Shavui are two separate reasons. Viko the Isle Mochrin Peros Ha'avudin V'Lesle Moridin. And therefore, you could hold, like Rosh Hashanah Gamliel, that you are, in fact, allowed to go and sell the fruit so it doesn't spoil, but you're not allowed to go and place somebody into the field, and vice versa. You can, in fact, not sell the fruits, but you could place somebody into the field. And I'll show you that this is true, Hochanami Mistabra, because the Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Rava paskin in the name of Rav Nachman, that halachik divrei chachamim, we paskin in our Mishnah, like the chachamim, lo yiga behem, don't go and sell them, either for the reason of Rav Kahana, or the reason of Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Don't go and sell them. But nevertheless, the Amar Rav Nachman, moridim karvel nifsei shavoy. In the case of the shavoy, Rav Nachman says you can go and put somebody there. So obviously the two reasonings are different. El Shmamino, Trei Tamininu, Shmamino. That's a good proof because you see that they're opposite. In the Mishnah, he passes like the Chachamim, but in the Braisa, he passes the Moridim, which would seem to be the opinion of Rosh Shimon Gamliel. So therefore, they're two separate reasons, and therefore, no problem to say Trei Tamininu. Now, once we've brought up this discussion, can you be morid or not morid into the field? We're going to have a further discussion about this. So they said in the Beis Medrash, Itmar, Shavui Shenishba, you have Nebuch, a person that was kidnapped and he's being held hostage. He's a Shavui. So what's the halacha? Rav Omar Ein Moridin Karul Nechasa. Rav says, don't put a relative into the field, because he may end up using it up. He says, I'm not going to get it back, and therefore, I'll use it up. I won't go and let part of it lie fallow. I won't go and put in fertilizer. I'll just plant and plant and plant, because in 2 months, the guy's going to get out of captivity, and he'll take his field back. I might as well get what I can for the field. Where Shmuel Amar, no, Moridim Karvel Mechasa, because the Karvel will say, listen, Mimanushach, if, in fact, he comes back, so I'll at least get paid like an Oris, as we'll see in the Gemara. And if he doesn't come back, I'm his inheritor, so I'll get it. So I'm going to take good care of the field no matter what. And that's what the Gemara now says. Bishishamu bo shemeis, in a situation where Nebuch, the person in captivity died, so then Kuliyama, both Rav and Shmuel, certainly Shmuel, but even Rav would say, Kuliyama lo pligi the Moridim, you can go put somebody into that field. Because, Mimarashach, if the guy's not dead, right, if we knew for sure that he's dead, of course they inherit it. But even if you just heard that he died, but we don't have proof, so Mimarashach, chances are that the person who's being put into the field, he says, there's an excellent chance I'm going to inherit this field, so I'm going to take good care of it. And even if the relative does come back who is in Shavuot, so I'll get paid like an aris. So therefore, I'll take good care of the field. So there's no argument where they heard b'shashamu bo shemes, albeit it's not proven, because as Tosu points out, if it was proven, and Lafarish Bishamo Bivez Adim. Tosu says the second Tosu is Shishamo. You can't be the two Adim. Dim came Pshit to the Morita. Of course, then he goes into it. It's his field. So they're only in that situation because they heard that he died, there's no risk. So even Rab would be Moda Moridin in that situation. Keep leaking. Where do Rab and Shmuel argue? Bishalo Shamu Boshemes. They know nothing about him. They heard he was captured, but they don't know anything about him. So Rab Amar A Moridin, because Dilma Mavsilo, because the person who goes in there is going to say, listen, the guy's going to come back any moment. I might as well use this field as best as they possibly can. And Rashi says, well, he's not going to put fertilizer in there. He's going to plant it. He's not going to let it lie fallow at all. He's going to weaken the field. So therefore, Rav says, don't do anything because we don't think the guy dies. We have no knowledge about his death. He could come back any moment. And therefore, the relative who's there knows that and is going to ruin the field. And Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Mama Reedin. Why? He says, Shmuel says, put the relative in there because Kivin the Mamar, as we're going to see in a moment, Shaimin and Luke Yaris, if we do put him in there, and even if the person who owns the field comes back, the Shavuot comes back, we'll still pay him like a sharecropper, as Rashi points out, a 25%, 33%, 50%, depending on what the custom was. So, Lo Masilu, he's going to say, why should I ruin the field? This may go on for a long time, and even if he comes back after 2-3 years, so I'll get to keep the field, the profits that I'm entitled to, a half, a third, a quarter, whatever the going rate is. So therefore, he won't ruin the field. So this is the understanding of the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Now the Gemara says, wait a second, Mesa, we have another brisa. Now the Gersa that we have is Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Others said the Gersa would be a lozer. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mimash Mishanema, the pasuk tells us in Parshas Mishpatim, V'chara api, V'arakti eschem b'chare, V'yun eshechem almanos, U'v'nechem yisomim. Now this pasuk seems to have extra words in it. As the Gemara says, Mimash Mishanema tells us the first part of the pasuk, V'chara api, Hashem will be very angry at us, and Hashem will kill us with the sword. In other words, they'll send in the marauding troops to kill us. Now, for the fact that we are killed, Rachmon Litzlan, Yodeani, I would know on my own that that person who was killed, his wife is a widow, Shineshoseya Mamonos, and Uvneya Misomim, and the children are orphans. So why do I need the rest of the pasuk to tell me that? Elamat Tamulomer, Fayunishechem Amonos, Uvnechem Misomim. That's what the Vagomer is. Why do I need you to tell me that? Obviously, if you kill the husband, the wife's an Amona, and the kids are orphans. Comes to teach us, Milamed, Shinoshoseya, Mivakshos, Linosei, the Ain Manichinosan. The wives want to remarry, but we won't allow them to remarry because we don't know for certain that their husbands were killed. Uvnaim Rosh and Larry, Linitse Avian, and the orphans want to go and take over the fields of their father, but we won't allow them to, Ain Manichinosan, because we won't know that they have died. So here you see, this is Akash and Shmuel. Shmuel said, Moridin Korol in the Chosav, and the Drosh of the Pasuk in Mishpatim. Is telling us that ain't more reading, like Rav. So it's a kasha and Shmuel. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav, no, you misunderstood what it means. Lay raid, it means that we allow them to go in the lim kartanat, but we don't allow them to go and sell the field. So they can go in and take care of the field, we just don't allow them to sell the field. And therefore, there's no steer over here to Shmuel from the Pasuk. So Rava says, Shmuel would say, yes, to go into the field and take care of the field, Moridin. However, to go allow them to sell it, that we don't, because it's not theirs to sell yet. And Maisa Shahoya have the Uvda bin Ardor. There once was a Maisa Shahoya with exactly such a situation where Nebuch, somebody was kidnapped, and they put in a relative into the field. And Rav Sheshis passed over here that you're not letting go and send the relative into there. So Amalei Rav Amram. Rav Amram tells him, Duma lei raid v'lim kartan. Why don't we give the terrors that just Rava gave that no, we allow somebody to go into the field, we just don't allow them to sell it. So Rav Sheshes didn't like this. So Amalei, Rav Sheshes said to Rav Amram, who gave us this suggestion that we should follow what Rava said, he said, Dilma mi pumpadisa. Are you from Pumpadisa? The people from Pumpadisa are famous, he said, the Milan Pila, they go take an elephant and put it through Bekupa de Machta, through the eye of a needle, through the little hole or the little kupa of the machta of the needle. In other words, they stretch this case. It's crazy to say that we allow them to go into the field, but we don't allow them to sell them. That's what the Bryson meant. The Bryson said, you can't go in there. So therefore, the pasuk, we dash in the pasuk, it means you can't go in there. So for you to say that you can, doesn't make any sense. And in fact, v'hadumya didn't show say muvneim k'tani. The drasha that we brought down on the pasuk in Mishpatim makes very good sense because there's a hekesh between nishoseim almanos uvneim yisomim mahosim klal lo. The wives can't get married a little bit. No, they're not allowed to get married at all. So to havacha, the bneim can't go into the field nami klal lo, not at all. Not even to just go take care of the field. We don't allow them to go in at all. Okay. Mara suggests, maybe this is all a machlokas tanoim. Not only Rabbi Shmuel. Tosus points out, so why didn't Rabbi Shmuel say like the tanoim over here? So Tosus gives us several answers, including they didn't know which opinion was which, so therefore they didn't say you're passing like this opinion or that opinion. They just said this is the halacha. And this way, whichever way the appellations were, will be correct. Or that they just didn't know this b'risa. Again, even great Amoraim, like Rabbi Shmuel, didn't necessarily know all the b'risas. Okay. So the Gemara says, let us suggest that this machlokes in Rabbi Shmuel, Moridin or not Moridin, or Moridin Karv Lunitzei Shavuoy, is actually Tanoi. He is a machlokes Tanoim from the following b'risa. The Tanya, we're in the following b'risa. Hayored Lunitzei Shavuoy. If we go and put a relative into the field of a Shavuoy, Ein motzino so miyodo. We don't take him out. Now, the machlokes Tosu says, this means l'chatchila or b'di'evit. So Tosu says, who I didn't dafil moridin also l'chatchila. This is using a lashon of b'di'evit, not for any real purpose. It's just that's what the facts were. But l'chatchila, you would even go and place a relative in. This Tanakama goes like the opinion of moridin. Now, others learn this Gemara differently, say it's only b'di'evit. But in any event, let's learn it nice and straight like Tosos, that you're allowed to do this l'chatchila. You can put him in there, l'chatchila, certainly if he's there already, in other words, we let him stay there. Furthermore, not only that, even if we see that this relative is coming home, the one who was shavuy is coming home, and the relative that we put into the field to take care of it, hears that his shavuy relative is coming back, so he quickly goes and harvests it, he cuts it off and eats it all up. We allow him to. I raised the Zoriz in Iskar. He was allowed to do that. He's working over here with alacrity to go make money. And he's technically allowed to do that. There's no Isser involved. That's the ratio of the Bryson. Now, the Eluhe Nichse Shavuyin. What is the definition of this halacha of Nichse Shavuyin? So, for example, if a person's father or his brother was the one in captivity, or anyone else who he would be the primary inheritor for, it was his cousin, but he's the closest relative. So, if they weren't in captivity, they went on a business trip to Medina Sayyam, and we heard that they died. So then, we don't know for a fact, as Tosus had pointed out previously, we know for a fact that the inheritor gets it for sure. But here, we just heard that they died. In that situation, Moridim. The Tanakhama says, you're allowed to go and put the person in. However, Hayored Lenichse Netushim, and here we introduce the word Netushim. If a person goes into a field that is called Netushim, what does Netushim mean? So, we'll see in a moment, the more we'll explain it, but it means that the person left this property. He ran away from this property. So, Hayored comes from Unitashtena, from also Parshas Mishpatim, from Shemitah. So, Hayored Lenichse Netushim, if somebody is going, a relative, being placed into a field that the owner had left it, Motzino so miyodo. We take this relative out. We don't let him stay there. And what is the definition of this nichse netushim? Ve'eluhei nichse netushim. For example, harei shayo aviv o achiv o echem in amarishin. Either your father or your brother, who you're the primary inheritor, or any other relative that you're the primary inheritor. Kol chalem lina sayam. They left this field on a business trip, and we don't know anything about them dying. V'lo shamu b'em shemes. But they left, and they didn't instruct us what to do. So the Tanakhama says in this situation, you're not allowed to go and be moored into that field. Yomar Shimon Gamliel, Shamati Shenetushim Kishvuyin. Rav Shimon Gamliel, on the other hand, says, no, we treat the Netushim like the first case of the Shvuyin, and we do allow you to go in. Oh, this is the Machlokes. Moridin or not? The Tanakhama says, ain't Moridin, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Moridin. Now, the Brisa continues and said, Hayori Lenichse Retushim. Here we introduce another word, Retushim. So this is a field, Motzino Somiyad. We also go and Miyodo. We don't allow the relative to stay there. We take him out. What is the definition of this Retushim? Ve'elu Lenichse Retushim. This is Hareshir Aviv O'Echiv, or Ochiv O'Echiv Bin Aborishim Kan. Here we have the father or the brother or the person that you're inheriting. You are the closest relative to them. They are here. The Einon Yodei Lehechon Hochu. They didn't leave. They weren't captured. But now they're not here. We don't know where they are. So in that situation, nobody says that you can go and be Moridin in that scenario. Now, Maishno hano de kolu hunatushim, or maishno hani de kolu retushim. What's the actual difference between netushim and retushim? And we turn to lamitesim with aleph. So the Gemara says netushim is the bal karchan. They were forced to leave. The chsiv, as the pasuk tells us, I brought down from mishpat before by shvius tishmitena unetashta. That in the seventh year, your produce, your fields are all considered hefker. Netashta, they're abandoned. I've kaso de malka, because it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you don't own your field anymore. So too, these people left their fields for some reason, tomorrow we'll discuss, but in any event, they left their field, as opposed to retushim, so that is the midaita, they left intentionally. Dechsev, em albonim rutosha. There's a passage from Hosea, where it says that the Jewish people were concerned that the enemy was coming to attack them, and therefore they had left their houses, and they escaped. So Rashi says, this is not below Shavya, this is not captivity. So therefore, they left on their own. And if they knew that they were leaving, and for the fact that they didn't instruct anybody to do anything, they obviously don't want somebody to go into the field. And therefore, if somebody does go into the field, you have to go and kick them out. Now, we're not done with the sugi yet, but this is a pretty good break point. So we'll stop over here. And with this, we'll conclude today's shir. But we'll pick this up tomorrow with a further discussion. Everybody should have a wonderful week.